Good morning, everyone. Well, once again, it's my pleasure to welcome you wherever you are to this service at St Andrew's and All Saints in Malvern. I'm part of the team. My name is Jo Hartwright, and I hope to be leading you through the service today. We've also got a live service on at All Saints, our sister church, and I know that that will be recorded later to go online. Of course, last week we didn't meet with you because we all joined together for a service with new wine nationally, and that was a great time along with some great teaching. If it's your first time to join us today, then we particularly welcome you. Or if you join us every week, then I pray that God will really bless you and encourage you as we go through our service today. In the past few weeks, we've been studying the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, which encourages us to keep on going in our faith. And this morning, we're going to be concentrating on some parts of chapter 3, where Paul is talking about keep on going on. And he is encouraging us in our faith to keep following Jesus and serving him. And this is perhaps particularly relevant at this time when, as a nation, as a world, as a community, we're going through all sorts of changes with regard to the current virus situation. Later on, our rector, Dave, will be speaking and giving us the sermon. But right at the beginning of our service together, let's start by singing a great song. A song about God's salvation. It's called Our God Saves, and it is one which builds our confidence and faith in Jesus. So let's join and sing.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come, we are gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see.
Your saints.
nations bow down as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that.
Just great to have the assurance that God gives us when we turn to him in faith. It's life-changing, and I'm sure you've noticed that and felt that too as you walked along in faith. So let's pray to God and let's thank him this morning for who he is. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to worship and praise you this morning. We thank you that we can come to you at any time, in any place, at any stage of life, and whoever we are, and you receive us and you hear us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your undeserved goodness to us, and your mercy to us. We thank you for your deep love to us and your forgiving nature. We realise that in so many ways we don't even deserve your attention. But we read in Scripture that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. We just ask, Lord, that you would minister to us now in these moments of silence, reminding us of where we've fallen down this week, where we've stepped out of line, where we've let you down and where we've let others down. We are sorry, Lord, for our failure. We're sorry, Lord, to love you and love others. We're sorry for our lack of compassion, for feeling that we're too busy to bother, for being so focused on ourselves that we have no time for other people. We ask your forgiveness and we ask that you would wash us clean so that we can press on, knowing your peace, knowing your joy, and being filled with your hope. We ask that you'll continue to transform our lives and help us to walk faithfully with you in the power of your Spirit and share the good news with those around us. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's really good to feel that cleansing and that release that God brings when we pray and we confess to him. Looking back, I hope you've had a good week or a good month, because it's nearly a month, I think, since we last shared together and I was here with you. And I hope all's well with you and that things are going along nicely for you. With the easing of the regulations, Paul and I have managed to actually see some of you in the flesh, not just on Zoom. But I haven't managed to catch up with some of our children and young people, and hopefully today in our service we can do that. However, I did see three lovely little girls, sisters, on video enjoying bouncing around the lounge to the songs that we were singing. And that's just great. I wonder whether you have an outlet for all that energy that's stored up in you over the last few weeks. I bet you had a great time online with the holiday club that's been going on this week. And I hope you really enjoyed it. And I hope that the young people enjoyed their, or are enjoying their weekend, this weekend, with special activities. And that's really good. So what have I been doing? Well, you could describe my past week with one word, plums. I don't know whether you like plums. I certainly do. You may see a photograph of them behind me or on another slide. But we've had a plum tree in our garden that we planted about 10 years ago, and it's done absolutely nothing. For several years, no fruit, then maybe one or two, and then last year we perhaps had six plums, and that was it. And we gave it an ultimatum. We decided that if there were no plums this year, then we would cut it down and leave it. But guess what? It's really gone to town, and there are hundreds of plums that we have picked from our tree, kilograms and kilograms. So after all this time of seemingly doing nothing, the tree has borne fruit. I think there's a sermon in there somewhere. So our plum tree has come up trumps this year. And the story for the younger children that Mary is going to read later on to you is about a tree and about a man who liked climbing trees. I'll leave you to think about that and guess who it was. The tree wasn't a plum tree, it was a sycamore tree. So you can think about that. But I know that lots and lots of people like climbing trees, especially children. And I know you like that little tree at the gate of the church. And some of you climb in there and hide. And I'm sure you must have missed it whilst we've not been meeting there. So boys and girls, I think, both like climbing trees. And I think some older people do as well. And it's a great form of adventure and exercise. I was walking up in our woodland a little while ago, and I came across this pile of planks and poles and clips and ladders. And I thought, well, what on earth is going on here? I don't know about this. And then I thought, oh, well, Paul will probably be doing something in the garden with them. Anyway, a few days later, I went up. And my goodness, there was a whole structure and tower of poles and planks and ladders which went right up into the trees. And then I heard this voice from above saying, "Are you coming up?" And I thought, well, yes, I'll have a go at that. And so I scrambled up, stretching right into the trees, curving round, going under the clips and the pipes and the poles, clambering up the ladder, and one of them at the top was really narrow. And then there he was, Paul, lying on a deck chair in the treetops. Well, that was really funny. And looking around into the trees. And it was an amazing situation of just feeling that you were on top of the world, with the bird song and the chittering of squirrels. So pressing on and climbing the ladder led me into a lovely experience of what was up in the treetops and how things feel and seem different. So today we're talking about keeping on going on, because in the end there is a prize, there is a goal, there is a feeling of exhilaration. And the Bible really encourages to run the race of life, to press on to the end, because it's worth it as we come to love and know our Saviour Jesus as our Master and Friend. So, trees, adventure, exercise, all very good. Now, moving on, we have some very special news from two of our young people, Eloise and Kay, and they're going to share with us now some of what they've been getting up to and what they hope for the future. And it's another chance to meet Eddie, our youth leader, and he's going to interview Eloise first of all, and then Kay will follow on.
Guys, it's so good today to have Eloise with us and interview her in church, in person, at a safe distance from each other. Now, Eloise, you have just finished your second year of sixth form. You haven't done your A-levels, but would have done. And most people your age now are heading off to university, but you're going a slightly different route for this year. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. So I'm hoping to do a gap year this year. Hopefully in September I'll be travelling to Lebanon. In fact, I will be. My visa came through last week. Booked my flights. So I'm hoping to be there for 9 months. And I'm going to be staying with a missionary family who have been working there for almost 17 years. So working alongside them, they've set up an education centre for Syrian refugees. So teaching at the education centre. And they also do lots of the youth work at church. So also helping with the youth work. Kind of some of the main things I'll be getting up to.
And so this is a couple, but they're part of a bigger organisation, aren't they? Tell us a bit about them.
Yeah, so the organisation's called SIM, which stands for Serving in Mission. And they basically prepare and nurture missionaries and then send them out across the globe. I hadn't realised the scale of the charity before signing up, but it's just amazing the work that they're doing. And their main ethos is that they don't want anyone to live and die without hearing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, which is such a privilege to be working alongside them.
Eloise, what is it that you want to achieve or get out of this year?
Well, I think a few different things. Obviously, I'd really love to help this couple with their work. I just think it would be amazing to see such mature Christians living out their faith in such a practical way. Obviously, I'm surrounded by Christians who do that in my home, but to see it in such a different context, I think would be amazing. So to help them as much as I can, and also to grow a greater dependence on God. I think being taken out of my normal context and placed in this new one where my friends aren't there, my family isn't there, St Andrews isn't there, I think it would just encourage me to rely on God more and more.
Now, Eloise, what can we do as a church community to continue supporting you in this? How can we help you achieve those things this year?
Well, I'm so grateful for the support that everyone's already shown, both in prayer and financial support. It's just been amazing to see people's care and generosity. So I'm really appreciative of that. So it would be amazing if people could continue to pray. Particularly pray for my my practical and spiritual preparation. I'm so disorganised, but I take all the right things with me.
You're only 3 minutes late to take an interview, though.
It's true.
That's an improvement.
No, but I think probably more than that. But I just see God in such a different way, and know Him deeper, and my desire for Him is increased. That would be wonderful. And then also financial support. So it's I've been asked to raise a total of £4,000 for the trip, which seemed like a very large sum when they first told me about it, but actually God has been so gracious in providing through so many different means, and I've been really grateful for His generosity as well. So I have a Just Giving page, which I think was in church notices.
We can send it out again.
Yes.
So you've almost hit your target. Yeah. So anything extra on that is like, you know, holiday clothes,
exactly,
ice cream.
Exactly.
No, but it's amazing. The church has been amazing at giving for that. We're deeply thankful. But yeah, we'll make sure we communicate how we get in touch with Eloise and how we hear from her. And I'm sure us as a church community just want to support you and send you out. And we'll be praying for you 100%, because we want it to be a transformational year for them of having Eloise, because you are a massive blessing, but also for you to be transformed by God, as you say. So do be praying, encourage her and support her, and thanks for coming and giving us some time this morning, Eloise.
We think we're having it bad in lockdown, but have you thought about how the COVID-19 pandemic is affecting our persecuted family around the world? Currently, Christians in many countries are being discriminated against in the distribution of aid, including food and PPE. For example, in India, the people in charge of food distribution are often Hindu extremists who deny food to anyone who isn't also a Hindu. Many of these Christians are very poor anyway and are unable to provide for themselves in a lockdown situation. In places like the Gulf, Christian nurses are being denied PPE because of their faith, which means they are far more vulnerable to catching the virus. So what can we do about this? Well, for those of you who don't know, the charity Open Doors currently supports persecuted Christians in over 60 countries around the world. At the moment, they're running a campaign called The Last in Line. This campaign aims to make the UK government aware of the discrimination that Christians are facing and calls on policymakers to ensure that mechanisms are in place to prevent Christians from being denied aid. All you have to do to get involved is to follow this link and fill in your name and address to email your MP. The more people send these emails, the more our MPs will be encouraged to do something about it. Please share this campaign with others to make sure that the voices of our persecuted family are heard. It would also be great if you could share it via social media by posting a picture of yourself with a cross and an empty bowl with the hashtag #TheLastInLine. Donations to Open Doors, and most importantly, your prayers, are also greatly appreciated. If you want to find out more, just head to the Open Doors website. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Eloise and Kay, and Eddie too. Wasn't that inspirational? I am so excited to see our young people getting involved and concerned about mission. Not just their own immediate affairs and their own concerns. They're thinking beyond that and thinking about the world out there that really doesn't know Jesus and is missing out. And so we'll be praying for Eloise later on in the service as she prepares for her trip to the Lebanon. And we trust and pray that God will open the doors and make that possible because of all the restrictions and so on travel at the moment. And Kay just delights us really with her enthusiasm for the mission organisation Open Doors and the fact that it reaches out for persecuted people. And maybe you feel that you can support this initiative called The Last in Line yourself. It troubles me to think that Christians in other parts of the world are suffering in a very different and much deeper way than we are, in deprivation and persecution. And maybe you feel you can write to our local MP, Harriet Baldwin, and make these issues known. I'm sure that you will want to pray, and maybe you will want to give and support financially and publicise this particular initiative. So thank you, all of you, for taking part in that. And do press on forward, reaching out with the love of God, and be prepared, making sacrifices both for yourself and others. But the reward will be great in the future. We're going to worship together in a song now which tells of the love of God that never fails and just goes on and on. And after this, our children and young people are going to leave to have their own activities. And we pray blessing on them and that God's love and peace and hope will fill them and that they will be strengthened in their faith. And then Paul will bring us the Bible reading. Let's sing together.
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. I know. I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day, 'cause your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages, your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas, 'cause your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide, I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails. But joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me.
The reading is taken from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 21, and verse 1 of chapter 4. Paul is talking about pressing on towards the goal. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Jesus Christ. All those who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, big hello from me, and can I add my welcome to that of Joe's. If you don't know me, I'm Dave Bruce. I'm the rector of St Andrew's and All Saints, and it's really great to be with you as we continue this morning with our theme of looking at the book of Philippians, and this morning's theme of pressing on towards the goal. This week should have been a momentous week for many, many people. This week should have been one of the very highlights of the sporting calendar. For this week, we should have all been watching this.
Gatland got a good enough start. Pop was a bit slow to begin. He's got some work to do. Gatland's in front. Pop's stretching out now. He's coming after him. He's immortal now. Usain's done it.
Yes, that's right. The 2020 Tokyo Olympics should have been finishing this week with the highlights of the athletics programme. It had been the week that many athletes around the world had been training for, had been gearing up for. They'd given up everything, hours of dedication, hours of training, sacrificed so much for this one chance to run this race and to win the Olympic gold medal. But alas, the Olympics are going to have to wait because of COVID for another year at least. But whilst we have the disappointment of not having the Olympics to celebrate and watch this week, well, I'm glad to say we do have a bit of an Olympic theme in our reading and in our service today. Because Paul here uses the analogy of running a race to describe what the Christian race is like. What the Christian life is like. And hearing these words, you know, he declares for himself, he says, I forget what is behind and I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. See, he's saying, I press on to win the prize which God has called me. And as he writes this, he's not just talking about himself, but he's encouraging those he writes to in the Philippian church to do the same, to keep going in their faith, to keep pressing on despite their circumstances. And you know, I think this is a really helpful message for us to hear at this time. Keep going, keep pressing on, keep running the race. You know, we all know that we've had a challenging few months, haven't we, with coronavirus. Our normal patterns of life have changed, and particularly the way we do church has changed beyond all recognition, although it's beginning to get back to normal for a few. And whilst it was perhaps easier initially to keep hold of God because actually there was nothing else left to do for much of the time, as the months and weeks go on, I think actually the challenge is to keep going. Even though we're separated, even though we can't do things as we used to keep pressing on with God. I read the disturbing statistic this week that somewhere in America had said that a third of churchgoers are no longer attending online church. People have got tired of perhaps what has been for a while was novel and new. And actually, as time has gone on, if people have become more distant from in their church lives, that actually many seem to be dropping out of the race, at least for a time. So I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask each of us this question. How are we doing in running our Christian race at the moment? How are we running our Christian lives? How would you describe the posture in your race, your spiritual race at this time? For some, actually, I know that you're running flat out. You're running faster than ever. God's been doing some amazing things, and that's great. I know others actually are struggling, are finding hard to keep going, to keep doing faith on their own. I know some probably actually have used this time to just take a break, to step off the track, taking time out. And maybe even some have even started running in the opposite direction. I wonder whether we can just pause at this moment and just reflect, where are you in your Christian race? And you might like to share that with those people around you. And so more than ever, I think this is a time that we need to hear the call again of this passage to keep going, to keep pressing on. For this is a time, I think, when it could be easy to slip out of the race. So I want to have a look this morning at what Paul says about what Paul is saying about how we can press on and see what we can learn from this and put into practice. And I want to talk about four things in particular. And firstly, Paul says, keep pressing on. And that means actually keep running towards Jesus. You know, what Paul's been describing here in these verses, he's saying, even though I've said some amazing things just in the verses that come before, I've talked about how I want to know Christ, how everything else is mere rubbish compared to me wanting to know Christ. What Paul's saying in these verses in 12 to 14 particularly is that, you know, I'm still a work in progress. I haven't reached perfection. I haven't reached maturity. I still want to know Christ better. I still want to become more like Christ-like. I've still got so far to go. You know, for many years I've looked at this passage and I've thought, well, actually these words of Paul of just keep pressing on, straining towards the goal, was actually all about doing more for God, was working harder in church, was taking on new stuff for God, was all about what we were doing. And maybe some of that is what God will lead you in. But as I've looked at this, I think I've realised that actually what Paul is talking about here, the pressing on he's talking about, isn't about actually doing more for God. It's about knowing Christ, knowing Jesus more deeply, more intimately, and becoming more like Christ. That's why he says back in verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. You see, more than anything, more than wanting a bigger church, more than wanting to have a bigger role, more than wanting to see more people come to Christ, he was saying in his deepest, in his heart, saying, I want to know Christ. You see, for Paul, pressing on more than anything meant running towards Jesus. I love the phrase that Paul uses in verse 12. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. You see, our race, our Christian race starts when Christ takes hold of us. You see, it reminds us that it's God's work and not ours. And that's where on the Damascus Road all those years ago, Christ took hold of Paul. He made himself known to Paul because he wanted Paul to know him. And just as Christ took hold of Paul, Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to press on. I want to know him. I want to know him who got hold of me. You know, I've been encouraging some of our staff team over these last few days to just take some time out over the summer, not just to think about what I'm doing and what we're called to do and the busyness of all the jobs that we have to do for God, but to say, let's stop and let's actually spend time simply getting to know Jesus better. Maybe reading a book that's going to help that. Maybe taking a gospel and reading through the gospels and just focusing again on who Jesus is and learning more about him, getting to know him more deeply. Maybe our prayer each day is to say, Jesus, will you help me know you better? See, if we're to press on, we start by running towards Jesus. Secondly, Paul, one of the things that Paul says here is don't let your past hold you back from pressing on. In verse 13, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. Going back to those sprinters we saw at the start, it's that analogy of when they're on the blocks, actually, and when they take off, they don't start looking back to see where they've come from, but their heads are focused on the line of where they're going to. And you know, that's what God is calling us to do, is not to be held back by looking back to the past. And what might we look back to? Well, I want to stress a couple of things. Firstly, our failures, the times where we've messed up, the times where we've perhaps run backwards or even left the track and got things all wrong. You know, sometimes shame and guilt can hold us back from stepping forwards, hold us back from pressing on. We can think, how can I, who did that, actually go and live for Jesus now? But the great news is that actually this isn't about us. The message of the cross is that actually we win the race not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago when he died for us. That means we can have our past forgiven. It means that whatever we've done, whatever mistakes we've made, when we feel we're disqualified from the race, we're not disqualified. But Jesus puts his hand back out to us and says, come and join me again. Come and step back onto the track and come and run your hardest again. You're forgiven. You've got a fresh start. Forget what's behind. You're not disqualified. Don't let our failures hold us back. But secondly, I want to say, don't let our disappointments hold us back either. You know, I think sometimes we can look back and we can dwell on the disappointments of our Christian journey, the unanswered prayer, those times when God hasn't done what we might have asked him to do, those times when God has seemed to be absent and we've perhaps when we perhaps needed him the most, those times when we perhaps haven't had the experiences of God that we wanted. And sometimes actually that can discourage us, and it can mean we don't run as hard. It can mean we can take time out or become more half-hearted and think, I'm just not going to go flat out again. You see, this is the mystery of faith. We don't understand it all. We don't have all of our questions answered. We don't understand why sometimes Jesus feels close and sometimes Jesus feels a long way away. But actually, Jesus invites us to hold on to the truth and to keep going anyway, to keep trusting him anyway. And one of the things I've found that is helpful in that is actually giving our disappointments to God, to just telling God what those disappointments are, offering them to him and saying, help me to run anyway. So give God your past, your failures, your disappointments, and trust that he's got the bigger picture, and press on anyway. Thirdly, Paul's saying here, saying don't get distracted along the way. Find some people to inspire you to be your running partners, verse 17 and 18. He's saying here, join together in following my example and keep your eyes fixed on those who live as we do. For as I've often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomachs. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. You see, Paul's saying here, watch who you're looking at. Watch who you're running with. Find people to inspire you in the faith to run with. Don't get distracted off course. Don't get pulled off course by those people who solely live for themselves, for their actually destination, he says, with tears is destruction. If we live for ourselves, our destination is destruction. If we live Jesus' way, our destination is a heavenly future with him for all eternity. He's saying, find people to run with who are going to draw you to Jesus. It was interesting at the start of lockdown, so many distractions taken away, so many people found that actually they read their Bibles, they prayed much more, they were focused on God much more. But now, as lockdown's being released more and more, you know, actually there's more things to compete with. We're beginning to get back to normal. And I think the challenge now is to say, let's hold on to that focus that we had with God initially, and not just be drawn back into God being an add-on in our lives as more and more stuff is being opened up. And Paul says the way we do this is by fellowship, is by finding people to inspire us to run with us, people who are going to point us to Jesus. And that's the importance of life groups. It's lovely to hear so many life groups which are working so well, where people are inspiring others to follow Jesus. So who are you connecting up with? Who are you running with at this time? Who can inspire you to follow Jesus's way, not follow the world's way? And finally, I want to say, I wonder whether there are people out there who read these words today from Paul and just feel overwhelmed. Maybe life for you is really difficult at the moment. Maybe these last few weeks and months have just been really a time of trial for you, and you're exhausted. And you're sitting there thinking, but Dave, I can't even stand, let alone run. I find this all so overwhelming. I'm just trying to survive. All this talk of pressing on, it just seems too much. Well, I want to just say to you, focus on what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord. This is how you should stand firm. You know, sometimes we're just in that place where all we can do is to stand and hold on and leave God to do the rest, isn't it? And for some of us, you know, this is one of those times. But as I was reflecting on this, I was reminded of something that someone said to me recently. You know, at the start of lockdown, people kept saying to me, you know, this is a marathon and not a sprint. Pace yourself. But a couple of weeks ago, I was in an online training session. And somebody said, you know, at the start of lockdown, we thought this was a marathon but not a sprint. But, you know, what we've realised now is that actually this is a triathlon, not a marathon. It's actually going to be an even longer race than we thought. And that reminded me of a clip of a triathlon, which I'm going to show you now, of the famous Brownlee brothers, some of Britain's Olympic medalists. It's a really moving clip where Alistair gives up his chance to win the race to help his brother Johnny over the line. Let's watch this.
And Johnny is running out of time and is losing. He's losing his sense of direction. This is worrying. Oh, goodness me. This is a horrible sight. Jonathan Brownlee has lost it now and has staggered to a stop at the side of the course. And Alistair's stopped to help him along. And Alistair is going to try and carry his brother home. Dramatic scenes in Cozumel as the Olympic champion carries his younger brother towards the podium. Schoeman wins in Cozumel. The brothers are coming home arm in arm to finish in second and third, but Johnny can hardly stand, and Alistair is having to drag him across the line and pushing him home for second. Johnny finishes in second.
It's an amazing and inspirational little clip, isn't it? And if you're feeling in your Christian life a bit like Johnny was feeling in that race, then I want you to just take courage and take encouragement. Because the big message is that we don't have to run this Christian race on our own. You know, we've got each other to run alongside. That's why we're called brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we're called to be there, to look out for those who are struggling in the race, to come alongside them, to put our arms around them, to carry them together forwards towards the line, to say, keep going. You just stand and we'll carry you. And maybe actually if you're struggling in the race at the moment, then actually do the courageous thing and stick your hand up and say, I need someone to help me. Can we talk? Can we pray? Can you come and encourage me to keep going? And maybe if you're doing well in your Christian life at the moment, what I want to encourage you this week is to look around and pray and ask God, who's struggling, that I can get alongside and that I can walk with, put my arm around, encouraged to keep going. But not just that, that we've not just got each other in the Christian life, but actually we've got Jesus himself, who walks with us, who runs with us by his Spirit. You know, if you feel a bit like Johnny did in that clip today, if you feel exhausted from the race and not sure whether you can keep going, what I want to say to you today is just allow Jesus this morning, who is alongside you, to put his arm round you, to carry you forward, to propel you forward, to run with you. May you know his presence, the presence of the Spirit, giving you strength, giving you energy, giving you perseverance to keep running the race, to keep running towards Christ. So I want to encourage us all to follow Paul's example in these difficult times. Let's keep going. Let's keep pressing on. Let's keep pressing on and running towards Jesus. Let's forget what's behind, the mistakes, the disappointments. Don't let that hold us back and keep running towards Jesus. Let's find good running partners who can inspire us to run towards Jesus. And above all else, let's keep standing firm, knowing that Jesus is there with us. When we have run out of everything, that he will sustain us and keep us going. Let's just take a moment to pause and be still. And just want to invite the Spirit of God to come and minister to you wherever you are in that race. And just in the quiet, ask God, what's the one thing I need to hear today to help me run the race better? For some it will be those words, you're not disqualified. Step back on the track. Come and run after me again. For others it's that sense of actually you're all out. You're all run out. And Jesus says, just stand. Allow me to carry you. For others, I sense actually there may be people here who actually have stepped off the track for quite a long time, maybe for years, and you're logging back onto online church. And actually Jesus says, come back again. Come and make a fresh start. Come and join the race again. You know, we're going to sing a song, Come to the Altar, which talks about God's forgiveness. It talks about God's invitation to come, to run towards him. And just as we sing this, maybe reflect and allow God to continue to minister to you so that you can have the strength to run, to press on, to keep going, to stand firm.
To the end of yourself, do you have Today we're going to pray for the church and the situation here in Malvern, the UK and throughout the world.
We thank you for our church family here in Malvern and that we have been able to continue to meet on Zoom, YouTube and other imaginative means throughout these COVID times. Thank you for the encouragement that this has been for us all and that your Holy Spirit has been uniting us as we support each other, both in the church and throughout the community.
We want to pray for the work of those Christians working throughout Malvern as they minister in practical ways to some of the poorest, most marginalised and hurting people throughout our community. For CAP, the food bank, the work of the Octagon and the Littleton Well, as well as other local initiatives. Thank you that these important areas of ministry have been able to reopen in recent weeks. And we pray that those who receive help will be blessed by you.
Thank you for the online Alpha course that finished this week. We pray for your protection of those who have moved on in their journey of faith and committed their lives to you. We're conscious now they will not be journeying together regularly and ask that each person remains close to you and goes forward in their faith and trust in you, building deep and lasting roots. Please help them find support and discover a local church where they can be welcomed, encouraged and nurtured.
We lift Eloise to you and pray for her as she starts her gap year in Lebanon. Thank you for her willingness to serve you there and do this work which is so far outside her comfort zone. We ask that she would be a blessing both to her hosts and also the refugees she is serving. Please help her draw closer to you during this time and know you walking closely with her. We also pray for our mission partner, Mike Bassous, director of the Lebanese Bible Society, in the light of the disaster that has hit Beirut this week. We give thanks that he and his family are safe and well, but we remember all who have lost loved ones in the explosion and those who have been seriously injured.
We pray for the devastating effect of COVID throughout the world, particularly on the most poor and vulnerable. We think of those places already facing hardship through conflict, disease and famine, for whom COVID has been the final straw. We remember individuals and people, individual nations and people who may be living and serving in these places, including Yemen, Somalia, Libya, Sudan, Nigeria and Myanmar. Thank you for the work of Open Doors supporting persecuted Christians currently being discriminated against in the distribution of aid. We ask that no one may be excluded in receiving the support that they need and politicians would respond to the appeals for help in this.
We pray for all governments and leaders around the world facing such challenging decisions, both economically and socially, in moving their countries forward in a just and fair and just way. Please give them godly counsel and wisdom in making bold decisions for the good of all.
Finally, let's join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Inspirational song that is, and it expresses really just how I feel, that I want God to be my vision. I want Christ to be the source of my life as I go forward from this point, and I hope you do too, because there's no other way that is fruitful and satisfying. And I remember the disciple Peter, when Jesus was experiencing people falling away from him and ceasing to follow, he said to Peter, "Will you also go away, Peter?" And Peter said, "Who else can we go to? Because you only have the words of life." And that's so true. There is no one else who has the words of life besides Jesus our Lord. So let's just pray and then we close with a blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are trustworthy. Thank you that you can form the foundation for our lives. And thank you that you can give us goals and a purpose for living. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to follow you. May we know the strength and presence of your Spirit. in Jesus' name. And now a blessing. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us today, during this week, and forever. Amen. It's just been so good to have you with us this morning. I hope you feel that you have met with God and that he has encouraged you. We hope to see you again next week or in a few weeks' time if you can't make it next week. Perhaps you're on holiday, but you will be most welcome to join us once again. Just keep an eye on the website and on all the things that are listed there that are going on with St Andrew's and All Saints and around in Malvern too. And we would be very pleased to give you more information. You can always ring up our rector, Dave Bruce, and have a chat with him. Or better still, come and meet with us today at 12 o'clock when we Zoom together over coffee. So thanks for coming. See you soon. God bless. Bye.